Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination's 308. This is the quality edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. It was originally going to be Fidelity, but there's just so many other connotations for that, where we decided to kind of go with much more of a little bit of a baseline. We're focused on a lot of great stories that are out there today. There's a lot of good stuff, good news to talk about, and a lot of it had to do with quality of concepts and quality of audio and all these other different things. So we kind of felt that it was an interesting little topic, and we were going to try and steer a lot of different articles and stories, and it just kind of ended up that way. So, like I said, this is the Caffeination Podcast. I am Paul. I will be your host for this and every other episode of the podcast. We are located lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. Being that that's caffeination.com and this is the Caffeination Podcast, we kind of figured it was a match made in cyber heaven. So hopefully you're having a great weekend and you're staring down the long barrel of a lovely work week ahead of you. We are here to make that transition ever so much smoother, so hopefully you're going to enjoy. This is the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We're trying to explain everything down and keep it interesting at the same point in time. There's a lot of great stuff, but before, you know, we get all into that, you're going to hear about any and all of the following topics on today's show. Tim Hortons, Coldstone, bento boxes, road signs, Acme, ray guns, guitars, Legos, Star Trek, Twitter, Tales of Customer Service. It's an interesting little show we put together for you. And for the most part, the theme of quality is running hardcore through 99% of the stories that we have for you here today. In fact, we're actually working on trying to make the actual podcast itself sound a little bit better. Hopefully, it's going to end up coming through and that you won't get blown out or have issues like we've had in the past. So the audio might be a little bit lower, might not. I'm not sure if this is actually going to go through to the final version. But any and all comments, feedback, suggestion, anything else you'd like to send my way, whether or not you think it's garbled, if there's clicks and pops that I'm missing, then I'm incredibly sorry about. Please feel free to send me an email over at caffeination@gmail.com. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and they are all listed over at techpodcasts.com. And before we get too much further into today's episode, I did want to talk to you just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Business travel is an absolute profitability killer, so do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the easiest online meeting service. With just a click, launch sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from the comfort of your own desk. GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and use. All you have to do to have your first meeting running in seconds is go to the website and click on a link. Plus, hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. Free voiceover IP and phone conferencing are all included. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. With this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts to get your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy cool stuff. Hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got coming for you today. We're trying to trying to maintain here at the podcast today. While this is the quality edition, one of the things that's kind of been lacking this weekend as it's gone by in an absolute blinding rush has been quality sleep. We had really good friends over last night. We were playing poker till the wee hours of the morning, and since my son loves to get up at the wee hours of his very own morning, it led to next to no sleep. So it's just been kind of a struggle getting through here on today. I swear both of the past 2 days have seemed so long that you don't remember the beginning of them. He woke up at 4:30 on Saturday morning, and we were up till 3 o'clock, so it was a 20 some hour day or 23 hour day. So it was kind of interesting to sit there at the end of it and say, man, I can't even believe what we're going to try and do tomorrow. So hopefully everything's going to settle back down and we're going to have some interesting stuff for you to round out, or actually rather begin your work week. But we're going to dive right on into the meat and the potatoes here at the Caffeination Podcast. Up first is the Geek Cruft section, and soon to follow after that is the consumable and caffeinated cruft session. We like to kind of split up the podcast. While they are two of my absolute hugest passions in life, I must simply separate them just a little bit. There's always overlap back and forth, but you can usually see that, you know, it kind of just makes sense to group stories together. Well, first up, there's an interesting little story that's kind of making the rounds, and there's a lot of people I know who are incredibly happy about this, and I myself am one of them. Vinyl is actually making a resurgence. Actual vinyl records, the physical LPs, the 33s, and I don't know if the 45s actually are, but they're making a resurgence because people are starting to care more about the quality of the actual audio that's coming out. CDs kind of dumbed down the quality overall, and unless you're an audiophile, you're not supposed to be able to hear it, but, you know, it just doesn't have the same kind of experience. It's we've talked about, you know, the Starbucks is not coffee, it's an experience. You know, well, an LP is an experience listening to music. Everything's that much bigger, everything's that much more interesting, there's a lot more material, the liner notes, you can actually read them, and I have a lot of records in my own garage, and, you know, now that we have the record player up and running, it's just fantastic to sit there and listen to music. You don't have to do anything else. It's not something that happens in the background or as a byline to whatever it is you're doing, but you actually have to physically go over there and flip the record and, you know, change things out. It's a very, very visceral way of experiencing your music. I know a lot of people who are right around my age who are actually vinyl collectors, and there's a lovely little story over at Trend Hunter that's talking about this, and they're saying that a couple years ago, vinyl was almost dead, and in 2008 and 2009, the number of vinyl albums has actually doubled. Record companies are choosing to release new releases, like, you know, Springsteen stuff and a couple other different new artists that are coming out. Like, I think Coldplay actually, they're pressing their releases on vinyl, so that people who want to experience it, who want to get the best possible versions of it, actually can do so, which is really kind of cool, and I applaud them for doing that. And I'm very sure that my good friend Tim is, if he's listening to this show, is silently pumping his fist in victory, because he absolutely loves vinyl recordings. And I gotta tell you, there's just something about listening to an actual record that transcends all other ways of experiencing music. So it's really kind of cool, and I can't wait to see where we go from here, you know? And if you are one of those audiophiles, if you're one of the people who can sense the slightest degradation in image or in, not image, but rather audio fidelity as you're listening to it, then you might consider a non-destructive way of listening to your LPs. Well, non-destructive, what do you mean? Well, technically, since you are actually rubbing a tiny little needle through thin plastic or vinyl grooves on the record, you are slightly and ever so slowly wearing holes out on your albums. It is very possible to actually wear an album out. Well, now you're going to take your CD or your LPs, and you're going to turn them into much more of the CD variety. There's an ELP laser turntable. Nothing touches the vinyl but light. So it's a non-destructive way of experiencing your music. However, it is incredibly destructive to your wallet, coming in at a whopping $15,000. Now, I know that there's turntables and everything that are out there that have different armatures that we've talked about before, you know, to properly experience the way that the vinyl is supposed to sound. But you know what? $15,000, 99 cents gets you the same song on iTunes. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but there's no recording that's worth the actual piece of hardware that's associated with it to cost $15,000. That's stunningly insane. All right, now moving right along, so as we're talking about quality and audio fidelity, you know, one of the things that's associated with audio fidelity is wood. I don't know why, but you know, there's a lot of reasoning behind it. You know, for instance, the wood that goes into actually creating a Stradivarius, actually creating a truly beautiful instrument, is very highly selected, very handcrafted, and there's qualities in wood that allow it to resonate sound that much better. This being said, Skullcandy is a company that makes designer earbuds, and there's a way that they've actually taken wood. Now, it does not look like these are actual wood earbuds, which would be kind kind of interesting, but rather these are wood grain overlay, so it's basically wood stickers. So for your sticker, the traditional piece of skull candy would go for roughly $20. These go for $99. So not just talking about quality here, but we're talking about another whopping hit on your wallet for something that really doesn't need to be. All right, now another thing that we've talked about here before in the podcast is the Kindle, and I'm kind of framing it in the light that, you know, the Kindle is changing the way, the Amazon Kindle, the ebook reader is changing the way people experience books, changing the way people get information. And it's really kind of interesting to see all the different celebrities and all the different stories that are out there about how people are enjoying it and how it's changed the way they're reading and that they're reading that much more now. So I've decided that I'm going to channel one Stephen Colbert when the iPhone first came out and he didn't have one, except for the fact that he had the means at that point in time to actually buy an iPhone if he so chose. I do not have the means to buy a Kindle. I would like Amazon to send me one, and I will gladly review it. So I'm just asking for it. Amazon, I'd like a Kindle. I would love to be able to give people an in-depth look at it from a very technology-centric point of view. And the Kindle 2 is coming out the 24th of February. Some of the possible dates that there's the official announcement is supposed to happen tomorrow, the 9th of February. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they've changed. The problem with a book reader like this, the Amazon Kindle, is that since it is not in existence in a lot of retailers that are out there, then nobody's seen one. You know, I've never seen a Kindle in person, so I don't know. You know, an iPod, when you look at it, I like to explain it like this. An iPod, when you look at it, it's an interesting little device to play music. There are devices that have a lot more features out there. There are devices that are cheaper out there. However, there's a feeling of quality when you're actually holding an iPod. There's something about the way it's constructed that just reeks of design intent and quality. So from what I've seen of the Amazon Kindle and all the pictures that are out there, it has the look like it could feel very well put together. It could make the way that something is constructed really has a very big impact on how people perceive it. So I'd love to be able to see one, and I think, you know, they're doing themselves a disservice by not partnering with a brick and mortar joint to sell these things as well, because there's certain things and there's certain price ranges that people are kind of hitting around that people aren't just going to plunk down a chunk of change. Yeah, we're talking about quality here, and I'm making very bad jokes. But the problem with the Kindle is that it's priced at around $360. So it's a huge investment, and for me never to have seen one in person, I just can't justify that even in passingly. Like, even, you know, if I had $1 million, the things I'd buy, that might be on there, but it would probably be low on the list because I've never seen it. I don't know what it can do. You know, I'd like to be able to see there and play around with all the features, you know. But all right, moving right along here, laser pointers and your pets. I love playing with the laser pointer in our cats. They go absolutely insane. And I've seen dogs do the same things. And I've always often wondered, you know, what are the pets doing during the day when we're not around? You know, wouldn't it be awesome to just have some kind of automatic system that actually, fired off the laser and moved it around and played with the dogs for you or played with your cats for you? And not in the very lazy sense, but, you know, just to give them a little bit of excitement while you're not home. Because you know nothing happens when you're not home. They're laying in the sunlight. They're soaking up the good life. Well, in comes Laser Pup. Now, there's two stories. The first is where I saw it over at Ogizmo, and then over to laserpup.com. This is a build-it-yourself, iPhone-enabled laser pointer tracking and webcam. So the idea behind this is that on your iPhone, there's a couple different controls, but in your house, there's a light and a buzzer. When the buzzer goes off, the light comes on, and it illuminates the area where the dog in question was going to be playing with the laser pointer. And then there's a remote-controlled servo that actually moves the laser pointer around the picture and plays with the dog. So this guy invented a way to play with his dog while he's on the run. I just love this. This is a fantastic idea, and he gives you the soup-to-nuts rendition of how you, too, can do this yourself. So if you have a little bit of electronics know-how and you have a dog that you really kind of need to wind down a little bit, you need to take a little bit of the spunk out of the motor, then this might be an interesting idea, a little fun project for you to give it a shot. All right, moving right along to Acme Ray Guns. I love pens. I don't know why it is, but there's something about a really good pen when you hold it. You're like, you know what? I wish I had something really interesting to write. You know, it just makes it feel like you should be writing interesting things. You could be drawing fun stuff. But I've seen a lot of really neat pens in the past couple months. The one pen didn't have any ink in it at all. It was just a metal stylus that actually was more along the lines of a pencil, but it never went dull, and it would make marks on regular paper. So this looks similar to that, but this is an Acme Ray Gun pen. It looks like a ray gun, I mean, as you would expect. However, it's $130, so it's a little bit of a steep price point here. It actually has a little bit of a handle and a stand. On the top of the handle, looking very much like a ray gun, is a lightning bolt chromed out, tricked out pen. And you can take the pen off of its little holder. I love the fact that it actually has a holder, and the holder kind of fits into the whole design piece. I think that's a very well-designed pen, and kudos to the people. You know, again, the price point of these kind of things makes them interesting to report about, but something I would never actually buy. And then, kind of keeping in the same little gun thing, I just saw this and it kind of fit in, so I decided to put it up there. A pistol instrument cable gives your guitar street cred and respect. Everybody's seen the kind of cables that goes into guitars. They're the right angle, you know, quarter inch single pole jacks that just get thrown right in. I have a couple of them, and I use them for patch cables on the between the mixer and the computer when I'm recording the podcast. You know, there's a certain way that they're supposed to look, and everybody just kind of knows what they are. You know, this took it one step further and actually kind of reimagined what that right angle bend is supposed to look like. Now, the bend is in there to make the cable hang correctly. It hangs straight down from the guitar, so it doesn't just loop off the back. And when you take that extra stress out of the bend in the cable, it makes the cable last a little bit longer. So the way that they actually did was they remolded the plastic in the right angle bend on this to actually resemble a handgun. So it looks like you have a gun shoved into your guitar. I think it's really fun. I think it's kind of fun kind of cool here. So it's interesting. And the best part about it is for 12 feet, it's only $24.95, or for 20 feet, it's $27.95, which is roughly the same you would pay for a good quality cable of that length. So I just wanted to pass it along. If there's any guitar gurus out there, then this is the kind of interesting thing that you may or may not like to spend your hard-earned coin on. All right, moving right along. Yet again, we have another interesting thing from Star Trek. Two episodes in a row now, we've hit up some fun, geeky Star Wars cruft. This is a Star Wars communicator. Now, this has a special place in my heart at this point in time. This is the original Star Wars because it has the gold grill going over the fun little swirly thing in the middle there. This is actually resembles the ornament that I got for Christmas this year. So you know, we went to Hallmark and I got the Star Trek communicator, and it had a whole bunch of different sound clips in there, so it was kind of fun to play around with. So when I saw this, I thought that they were reporting on the ornament, because you know, that's the only thing I've seen that looks like the communicator but wasn't. This, however, is a real communicator. This is a voice over IP Skype handset that is made to look like a communicator. I don't know how much it is, and I'm really trying to find out, but it's one of those things where you're looking at it and go, you know, why didn't I think of that? Because it is a fantastic little fun product that just kind of speaks to a little bit of whimsy, because if you use Skype heavily, which I'm not a really heavy Skype user, it really kind of helps to have that handset to walk around your house with. So it's really kind of fun when you see it take alternate shapes, because one of the things that I've seen the Skype handsets closely mimic is a handset from a phone, which is kind of understandable because it's supposed to be the same thing. But this takes it one step further and goes directly to a Star Wars communicator, so I thought it was fun and passed it along to you. I'm sharing the savings, you know, passing the savings along to you. Alright, up here, the next, we have two little stories from a website that is entirely in what I believe to be French. So, the problem here is not that it's in French. The problem is there's no description on some of the stuff that they're putting out there. So there's a woven tapestry or needlepoint, I can't tell what, or it could be a blanket, that is one of the world maps from The Legend of Zelda. So I thought this was fantastic. I'm passing it along to you so you too can see it. And then the next little thing here, I've seen these before. These are actual ice invaders. It's a silicon ice cube tray where you put water in there, you freeze them, and then you can bend them around and pop them out really easy. And they're in the shape of the Space Invaders. So all the different little enemies and the ship and everything else. Nope, there's no ship. I'm very sorry about that. But all the different enemies that actually come down the path towards you in the Space Invaders video game, you too can have your retro love and fun as they invade your glass of ice water or whatever other beverage it appears to be. The only problem I have with this product shot is that for some reason the liquid in there is a very strange aquamarine, strange little cyan-colored liquid. It doesn't really look like water. It doesn't really look like anything. It looks more along the lines of antifreeze than anything else, so I don't really know what they're trying to show you there. All right, moving right along, yes. Lego Minfig Bikers. Yes, this is from our good friend and fellow Tech Podcast member over at Ben's Tech Show. Thank you very much, Ben, for sending this one in. But this is a way to get a little bit of street cred. I've seen the helmets that bikers use that look like skulls, and people have, you know, if you're riding down the road and you're not paying attention and you look off to the side, it's a very kind of jarring sight. However, if you're riding down the road and you see a gentleman with a bright red helmet with a yellow visor on it, so it looks like a Lego man, I would laugh. I don't even know if I'd be able to continue to control my car. So there's no word on how much this thing actually costs. I just decided to share it with the group. I thought this is a fantastic thing. I really like to see some of the different helmet designs and stuff like that are out there. I know my cousin is a really good artist, and he actually does helmet designs. He's done a couple really interesting Spider-Man and Venom helmets, but I've never seen a Lego Minfig helmet. And I think one of the reasons that people may have shied away from this, other than the fact they didn't think about it, is that there's not a lot of detail in this. There's not a lot of really things to play around with. It's kind of simple. So the simple things are sometimes incredibly funny at the same point in time. So if you head on over to the show notes, there's also a link to Ben's show. So thank you very much, Ben, for sending that in. All right, moving right along. We've talked about the zombie road signs here before. How to Hack an Electronic Road Sign is an article that tells you how to go about doing it. And they're saying that people are having a huge troubling time trying to find a way to lock people out of actually changing them. There's calls to change the way that you actually reprogram the road signs. We talked about it on the last show. Don't change the way that people reprogram the road signs, because you're having construction workers do this kind of on the fly. They need to, you know, have the ability to change the signs to match whatever conditions they have out there. And they don't need to have to read a 40-page manual to do it. It's a very simple device. It should be a very simple solution. So how about putting a padlock on the place where these things are? Now, what they're not telling you is that it could also be the construction workers themselves changing the signs. I think that would be absolutely hilarious. Instead of, you know, being some group of rogue children running around the country, changing things for zombies in the area, run, Nazi zombies, run. Nobody has ever loved you is another fun one that's up there. Raptors ahead, caution. There's all kinds of really interesting ones that they have linked up there, and there's a step-by-step guide about how you go about getting in there and doing it. So, seems relatively simple. And the best part about any one of these guides that ever gets put out is that there's always that lovely disclaimer. This is for educational purposes only, so here we're going to tell you how to do some really fun and cool stuff. Just don't do it. So I just decided to pass all along to you, so hopefully you find it interesting. Then the last little thing we have for you here in the Geek Cruft section at the Caffeination Podcast is students call the space station, which would not be that out of the ordinary, would not be that hard, except they did it with a home-built radio, which this is the first time that there has ever been communication between the space shuttle and Earth through a completely and unexpected civilian channel. So four Toronto College students accomplished a huge technological feat that their teacher is calling a first. At least that's what the globeandmail.com has listed here. But these guys have actually been working on it for a significant amount of time. The school officials say that they actually ended up talking to one of the astronauts for just around 10 minutes, and they kind of set it all up. I think it kind of would have been really fun if they hadn't gone through NASA or anything to kind of set up a window to talk to them. It would have been kind of funny. You know, the astronauts are going about whatever they're doing up there, floating in the ether, and all of a sudden, you know, the phone rings, and they pick it up, and it's a bunch of college kids from Toronto. Hey, what are you doing, eh? I think it would just be kind of funny to you know, out of the blue. So now the telemarketers can get a hold of people up on the space station. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was pretty cool. All right, that ends the GeekCruft section here at the Gaffination Podcast. So if you are, in fact, listening it over at the stream of the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else, and you're somewhere in the middle of this episode, you don't know how to go back and start over, then you are, of course, listening to the Gaffination Podcast. We are lovingly nestled over at www.caffination.com, beingcaffination.com, and the Gaffination Podcast. They both exist at the same locale. We are, of course, a fantastically proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And if you would like to send in comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else your pretty little mind desires, you can fire an email off to caffeination@gmail.com. If you head on over to my website, you can find a horde of ways to contact us. So I would highly suggest doing one of those if you'd like to get comments or information on the show. If you have fun stories that you'd like to share, and I can fit them into the episode, I will gladly do so. If you'd like me to send a link back to your site, then please let me know that as well, and I will gladly do that for you. So it's kind of interesting, you know, all the stories that come in, sometimes they fit in, sometimes they don't. Huge thanks to anybody who takes the time, and I'm really trying to get back to everybody who does actually send me stuff, and I'm going to let you know if I can use it or not. But it's really interesting to see the stuff that's coming across my desk and on a given day. So heading right on into the consumable and caffeinated cruft, we have a bunch of little stories and a quick little tale, and then we're going to send you out on your way. Now, hopefully maybe a little early today. I know we're on a pretty good roll. We're hitting a nice good clip, and I'm not babbling nearly as much, so I should probably just head right into the stories. Up first, over at Wired.com. I love Wired, the magazine. I had to cancel my subscription because I wasn't reading it. I was seeing everything online, and I've seen that people talk about that a lot. However, there's an interesting little gallery that they have up there called Geeky Bentos. Now, if you were unaware of what a bento box is, it's a self-contained lunch. It's of, I believe it's a Japanese origin, but it's a tiny little box. That's all it is. It's a little tray that has all of what you would need for your lunch in one location. And it's also very common for people to actually stylize the stuff that's in there to make different designs and things like that. I linked up my absolute favorite of all of the different bentos. It's a it's a massive honorarium of Nintendo culture is the only way I could say it, because there's a Pikachu in there, there's a whole bunch of meatballs that are actually kind of the floor of the whole thing. It's actually two bentos side by side. There's Yoshi, there's Kirby, there's a fun little egg, there's a little magic mushroom, there's all these other kinds of things, and there's a couple stars, and everything's made out of edible things. That's the best part about it. So for Yoshi, they actually used what appears to be Brussels sprouts and a whole bunch of other different little things. It might be slices of cheese, there's little pieces of tomato in there, and it's all incredibly and artistically done. Overall, one of the freakiest ones that they have up there is actually it's Big Daddy and Little Sister, two characters from the video game BioShock, and it's much more of a 3D interpretation of it, so it actually looks like one of the characters is coming out of your lunch to attack you. I know that I would probably have trouble eating things that look like they were trying to, well, I don't think I'd have trouble eating things that look like they were trying to attack me, but if they look really too cute, I don't know if I would be able to actually eat them, so I'm just going to pass that along. Alright, up next, there's an interesting little article that I found out over at sweetmarias.com. I've recently used this as a reference for pictures of coffee roasting. Now, I would love to get into coffee roasting. I need to actually get the correct tools all up, and as soon as it gets a little bit warmer out there, I might try my hand at using a little air popper for popcorn and actually creating my own roasted coffee caffeination blend, you know, whatever it may be. However, there is a fantastic article. I mean, soup to nuts, this is one of the most detailed articles on just concerning the color and what happens to coffee beans as they get roasted. And the fun thing is, when you're looking at the pictures of the coffee, it goes 1 through 16 of the different ways pictures of the coffee beans. So from the green beans all the way to pure charcoal. And the funny thing is, when you get all the way to number 16, it is a fully black bean. It hasn't really changed in color or consistency since 14. So full French roast is relatively dark. It's pretty much black. Fully carbonized is not only dark, but it's black and it's thick with oil on the outside. And then imminent fire is the last one. I was unaware of it, but coffee beans can apparently catch fire after they're done roasting. So if you have them in the cooling bowl and you're not really doing anything with them and it was too hot, the sudden influx of oxygen can actually cause them to catch fire. I knew it was possible for them to catch fire inside the roaster itself. So it's interesting to see, and a wonderful warning for after the fact. So anything that you would like to know about roasting coffee, you should head on over there and check that out, because they have a wonderful little guide, a pictorial walkthrough of coffee roasting and what happens to the beans along the way. An interesting brand marriage is up here. Tim Hortons and Cold Stone. If you are unaware, Tim Hortons is a fantastically popular Canadian coffee franchise. We had a couple professors in our department who were from Canada or Canada, whatever you like to say it, and they lamented about the lack of a Tim Hortons around here. So when one of them went home, he actually brought Tim Hortons coffee home with, or back with him. So I got to try it. It was very, very good coffee. It's hard to pin down exactly what makes it different than some of the American coffees that are out there, the Dunkin' Donuts, the 7-Eleven, the convenience store. But it is significantly different, and it is actually very good. And then Cold Stone Creamery, the mixed-in ice cream place. I can't actually go in that place very often because it's a very sickeningly sweet aroma in the air. I don't like sweet things to begin with, and the sickeningly sweet odor that hangs around the Cold Stones a little much some days. But apparently these two business titans have decided to kind of marry up and do a little bit of cross-brand promotion. So in the Cold Stone Creameries, which gets most of their business in the afternoon and evening, you will now see Tim Hortons coffee available, and they will be selling breakfast sandwiches and everything else like they do. When most of the Tim Hortons actually has their traffic in the morning and afternoon, so there's very little overlap with the two customer bases, so it's interesting use of space. However, as a cautionary tale, Dunkin' Donuts did team up with Baskin Robbins, and that did not end well in most places, so who knows where that's actually going to be, you know, in the coming future. Who knows what that's actually going to show up? So it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think any of the Cold Stones around here are going to be getting Tim Hortons coffee anytime soon, but it is going to be fun, and hopefully it works out. The funny thing actually would be, in one of the local malls around here, in Neshaminy Mall, there's currently a Cold Stone Creamery right next to a Dunkin' Donuts. The Dunkin' Donuts originally had a Baskin-Robbins section in it. I think they removed the Baskin-Robbins section recently as soon as the Cold Stone opens. So I don't know if that Cold Stone would be on tap to actually get a Tim Hortons, because then you're going to have two establishments right next to each other that have both of the primary ingredients for for the other competitors. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how that would play out. All right, a Dunkin' espresso story. I was on Twitter, and I actually lamented one of the problems that I had had in some of the Dunkin' Donuts around here. There is no menu item for espresso. However, you can get a turbo hot, which is basically a tall cup of coffee with a large cup of coffee. It's not a tall as in the Starbucks experience, but it's a large cup of coffee with a shot of espresso in it. So I asked on Twitter to the Dunkin' Donuts, at Dunkin' Donuts on Twitter, I said, you know, is it possible to actually get an espresso? Because when I requested one the last time I was in there, I said, you know what, I just like a double espresso. And they kind of looked at me like I had three heads. Then they looked up at the menu and said they didn't think that was possible. So I said, you know what, that's fine, no worries, I'll just take a coffee with a shot in it. And they said, okay. And I went about my merry way. So fine folks over at Dunkin' Donuts who control the Twitter account actually sent me a link to the Dunkin' Donuts espresso story, and apparently they're all using fair trade certified coffee in all of their espresso. All of the espresso beans are fair trade certified. This is fantastic, and if you are unaware of what fair trade coffee is, it's a way that the people who are buying the coffee, the people who are consuming it, it's a little logo on there that they know that the coffee was bought at a fair wage to those who grew it. So it's much more of a way to give back by spending a little bit more for coffee. And I would love to see Dunkin' Donuts actually kind of make all of their coffee fair trade certified. That would be a fantastic thing. Who knows if that'll actually end up coming out, but it was a fun little give and take with the Dunkin' Donuts Brandon, I actually put my suggestion in. You know, if it's available, it would probably help people to actually have the espresso on the menu so that you can actually point to it and say, I'd like that item, please. Because I'm pretty sure they would actually increase the sales of espresso if people knew that they could get a single, double, or triple shot. So just wanted to put that out there. And then the last little thing we have for you here before we send you on your way is I am irritated to beat the band at Starbucks right now because my wife had a lovely Starbucks gift certificate, so we went into the Barnes & Noble, which just opened in Neshaminy Mall, and they have a Starbucks cafe in there. They actually closed the cafe in the middle of the mall and opened the Starbucks in there. They serve everything Starbucks. There is not one thing that they sell in the Barnes & Noble cafe that is not Starbucks. The people are wearing Starbucks aprons. I tried to pay with a Starbucks gift card, and I'm pretty sure you know where this is going. They said, oh, we're not a Starbucks. We don't accept that. You know what, Starbucks? I actually added the person at Starbucks on Twitter and told them. I said, you know, this is ridiculous. If you are selling Starbucks-branded coffees, you should be able to accept a Starbucks gift card. You know, let the corporate bigwigs figure out where the revenue sharing goes left or right, but it needs to be easier for consumers to understand where they can spend their money. And I understand this isn't an actual Starbucks. Okay, fine. Why are they wearing your logo on the schmucks, on the aprons? Why? There's so many questions out there. And the real funny thing about this is that anytime I've addressed a question to at Dunkin' Donuts or anytime I've actually addressed a question or a problem to at Dunkin' Donuts on Twitter, the person has gotten back to me. Anytime I've ever made a comment, suggestion, or anything to the at Starbucks, it has been a dead silence. So kudos to Dunkin' Donuts and a fantastic way of reaching out to your customers and a way of actually making people feel like, even if it goes completely into the corporate ether, even if nothing ever happens to it, you know, to my suggestion, that's perfectly fine. Although I think it's a good one, other people might not. That's all right. You gave me the courtesy of listening. Thank you. Starbucks, epic fail, gotta tell you. So I understand why they're having issues now, because they just think that everybody should just accept the way they do business. So it's... And that's about the last little bit of rant I have for you today. It was a little bit of a smoother rant there. It was kind of just me being irritated. But, you know, I don't like dwelling on that kind of issue. But I wanted to kind of bring it to other people's attentions. And the funny thing is, when I mentioned it on Twitter, a lot of people actually lamented about the same problem. They said, yes, I have had that problem before with Starbucks. Why can't I use it? This is a Starbucks cafe. You guys should figure it out on the back end. Alright, that about wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for listening in. Hopefully you found today's episode interesting, fun, entertaining, and exciting. This has been Caffeination number 308. A huge number and only made possible by you, the fine folks who listen in to the Caffeination podcast each and every week, twice weekly if you're really good. If you are one of those people who would like to become one of those people, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. You can click on the iTunes link, the Zoom link, the RSS link. There's a whole host of places and fun things you can do with our content, and I highly suggest you head on over there and check that out. If you'd like to write a review for us in iTunes or anything else like that, we're looking to kind of increase the brand presence of Caffeination. So I've kind of ignored a lot of the other channels that are out there, and we're trying to make sure that it gets done and right. So everybody who's listened to the show, thank you so much for all of your time, and we hope to serve you another episode piping hot on Wednesday evening. So thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.